So it always seems like we could say hello for a long time, right? So sorry to break that up. But what a joy it is that we are here today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's just a great thing to say that. And what a great day it is that we can gather together on this Easter day. But you know what? Today is another day as well. It's one of my favorite days as well. And what is it? April Fool's Day. And you have to understand, my family hates it because I love it, right? Does that make sense? And so today I actually set this up all weekend. I didn't talk about April Fool's Day all weekend. Didn't mention it at all. And in fact, you know, when my daughter asked me, what's your sermon about? Which she always asked me, I said, well, Jesus, you know. Didn't give her any clue other than that. And you know, teenagers, they're not real happy to get up in the morning, right? Especially at 4 a.m. to be able to come to a service at sunrise. And so I left early to get to the sunrise service, and I had this all planned out. And so I waited till they had left, and we're maybe just about 10 minutes away from the sunrise service, and I called them. I said, guys, we got a problem. The gate's locked. Nobody can get in. We can't do anything. The sunrise service is canceled. And you could hear it in my daughter's voice going, what? I got up for this? And I kept playing along a little bit going, I don't know, we're not going to do it, I guess. So I guess just come here and we'll just wait for the 10 o'clock. And they go, this is terrible. And my wife is going, can't you find a key? There has to be a groundkeeper there somewhere, something like that. And finally I said, no, April Fools. And they went, ah. So, April Fools are fun. And April Fools has been around for a while, actually. I mean, today is April Fool's Day, after all. And we can't forget about that because I love that day. But it's been around for a while. I mean, back in the 1700s, English pranksters are sort of the ones that are sort of credited with starting it, as they would pull pranks on people during this day. And then also back all the way to back to 1582, when they actually moved from what they thought was a Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Some people didn't make the switch. And so what they did was they actually called those people fools because they didn't switch. And that's where you got the April Fool's Day idea. But April Fool's Day has been around for a long time. And actually back in 1957, BBC actually on this day came out with a report that there was a greatest spaghetti crop that was ever grown. And they actually showed this picture of people, harvesting the spaghetti. And people actually believe that. Can you believe that? And then in 1987, Burger King came out with the left-handed Whopper. The left-handed Whopper. And people actually went into the restaurant and said, I'm left-handed. Can I order the left-handed Whopper? It's amazing. But you know what? One of my favorite ones happened on April 1st in 2008, and it was the BBC. And I have a short video for it. I'd like you to watch it.
This recently discovered colony of penguins is unlike any other. They don't need to huddle together every winter for protection against the bitter cold, because these little fellas can do something no other penguins can. Isn't that amazing? Ability? Well, they fly thousands of miles to the rainforest of South America where they spend the winter basking in the tropical sun.
Isn't that amazing? Penguins fly. It gives a new meaning to snowbird, right? Yeah. they actually, you know, go all the way to South America to enjoy the nice warm weather. People actually sort of bought into that too, that they actually discovered penguins that can fly. I mean, there's hoaxes out there. There's all kinds of April Fool's jokes. But you know what? Today, what we celebrate here is no hoax. It's no April Fool's. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead today. And that is not a hoax. That is not a hoax at all. And it's important that we realize it's not a hoax, because there's something in our lives, something that we have, something that we experience, that we need to know that Jesus truly rose from the grave. How many of you actually remember the movie Forrest Gump? Quite a few of you, right? I mean, this was a great movie, and it had all kinds of lines in it, and it was great. But there's one point where it was a really a poignant point in the story, very important point, where he was standing in front of the grave of his longtime girlfriend and became his wife, who had died from a mysterious disease. He's standing there at her grave, looking at her gravestone, contemplating the life that he shared with her. He had his hands in his pocket, as he does sometimes, right? And he actually came out and he said these words. "Mama always said that dying was a part of life. I sure wish it wasn't." I'll bet you there's many of us right here today that have that same sentiment. That we've experienced death some way, somehow, in our families, with our friends. That we sit there and say we wish death was not a part of life, just like Forrest Gump. But the reality is this, that death is very real. Death is extremely real. We've experienced it just lately, as we saw the death of a man of God, 99 years old, and Billy Graham. We experienced it as well as we saw the death of someone on the opposite end of the spectrum, Stephen Hawking. We know that death is also around us because we've seen it in other ways as well. If you look at what we've seen also the bridge collapse that suddenly took people's lives, and also the helicopter crash that did so as well. We also know that from the shooting in Parkland, Florida, that 17 lives were lost there suddenly, that nobody expected death to come at that time. See, death is very real. One of the students at that school, his name was Jose, he actually said this in response to what happened. "More prayer, Jesus, God, and compassion won't bring back the victims that sadly lost their lives." You hear that and your heart breaks. I mean, he was simply expressing, though, what most people believe. That once people are dead, they're dead. That's it. That's the end of the story, is what most people believe. But Easter is here to challenge that idea. Easter is here to challenge that idea, to make sure that we don't get to the place where we feel that it's not true, that this is no April Fool's joke that we celebrate today, that truly Christ has risen, he is risen indeed. And that means everything to us. See, in 1 Corinthians, we read these words, For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. I mean, these are words that Paul is sharing because he was one who knows what happened to Jesus. He understands what happened to Jesus. He saw what happened to Jesus. And at this point, truly, he's saying it is true. But he's saying it because he wants us to understand that there's two things that we as Christians must believe. The first is this, that Jesus died for our sins. That on Good Friday, Jesus went to the cross and took upon himself everything that you and I deserve because of our sinfulness that we live with. There he paid the price that you and I deserve, but he did it because he loves us that much. So he died for our sins, and that's the first thing we need to believe. The second is this, that Jesus was raised to new life. Because that assures us that what he did was accomplished, and it shows us that we have life as well after death. Those are the two things that as Christians we hold on to and believe dearly. And it's important that we truly understand what that means. Because in Romans chapter 4, we read this, that he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. See, there's been doubts and things that are out there for years. People have called Christians fools for believing all these things at all. But that this doubt has been there since the first century, that the truth of the resurrection was not true. Even in a place called Corinth, in a church that Paul had created, there were people there, apparently, that were Christians that actually denied that Jesus had risen from the grave. It was so strong that Paul felt like he needed to write it in a letter to them, and so he actually wrote these words to them as well. He said, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" I mean, these were to the first century Christians that Paul had started the church with. They were doubting it at this time, and that doubt still exists and remains today throughout our culture. Many people doubt the truth of the resurrection. Even more doubt that a guy rising from the dead 2,000 years ago could make a difference at all in our lives today. I mean, he might as well be dead, they feel. But Christ has been raised. And Paul goes on and writes it clearly. He says this, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Those are strong words by Paul from someone who obviously believes more than anything that Jesus raised from the dead. So much so he was willing to give his life for it. Do you guys know what he suffered because of his belief in this fact? Prison, beatings, lost on an island, shipwrecked. If it wasn't true, I don't think anybody would go through those things. See, from the very beginning, Christians have confessed that Jesus not only died, but that he rose again. And after this death, this resurrection, it was a pivotal event for all of human history. The first believers staked their lives on it. They made their claim on it. They never did anything. And in fact, many of them were martyrs to the death, believing and confessing that Jesus rose from the grave. I don't know about you, but if it was an April Fool's joke or a hoax, I don't know if I'd carry it that far. See, N.T. Wright, a famous theologian, said this, "Those who deny the resurrection then are not simply tinkering with one negotiable element of Christian belief. They are cutting off the branch on which the gospel and those who embrace it are sitting. But most importantly, they are declaring that no great event has yet happened through which the world has been changed." And this is a theologian who is saying, this is a pivotal event. And this idea of a resurrection has been debated for years. The guy on the upper right-hand side is a guy named Flew. He was one of the foremost and outspoken atheists in the world. The guy down on the bottom on the left-hand side, that's Habermas. He was a theologian that was in a debate against them, the both of them debating this idea of the resurrection. They did it at Cal Poly University. And actually, when they finished the whole debate, they were actually having coffee afterwards in this sort of get-together. And someone came up and asked Flew, the one who was the atheist, "What if Christ really did rise from the dead?" He pondered for a moment, and he looked at the individual and said, "Well, that would change everything." Think about that for a moment. Christ's resurrection does change everything. It changes everything for you. It changes everything for me. And the first thing we have to know is that it changes so much. Why? Because death has been defeated. I mean, isn't that amazing that death is dead because of Jesus? That's what it means. That in the resurrection, Jesus Christ, we have the answer to the age-old question. And that age-old question is, if we as mortals die, can we live again? And through Jesus' resurrection, we are told yes. The Bible teaches that because Christ lives, then we live also. And that's the greatest truth that you and I could ever hear. That because Jesus died but rose again, that you too will have life in His name. You will have newness of life for all eternity with Him. Praise God. The second is this, that sin has been forgiven. That's what Christ did on Good Friday. He died for our sins. Since Adam ate the apple in the garden, sin has been a part of all of humanity. But God had a plan. His plan was to send Jesus into this world to live a perfect life you and I can't live, to go to the cross and die for those moments when we fail and we don't live according how we should. And then He rose again so that we could be assured that it was paid for and that we have new life. That's God's plan that you and I get the benefit of. And third, God's new creation has begun. See, Christ truly changes everything. The new creation comes about at Easter. The Gospels, they say that Jesus is raised from the dead. Therefore, He is really, truly the Messiah of the world. Therefore, He is really the Lord of the world. Therefore, God, His new creation has begun in Jesus. And because of that, you and I have a job to do. It's what John chapter 21 and 22 is all about. It's what Luke chapter 24 is all about. It's this astonishment that we have that Jesus truly rose from the grave. The stuff that has happened and what that means is something that we have been given as a message to understand and to believe. But it's a message for us to take out. To take out throughout this world and to share it with people about the new creation. And about what Jesus has done for them. See, Jesus' death and the resulting resurrection, it changes everything for us. The question is, how about you? You may be here today, are you a believer? Are you firmly convinced that Jesus actually rose from the dead? Are you a bit of a skeptic? Are you from maybe looking at your experience and seeing death around you and you believe that there's no way a dead person can be raised? I would encourage you to look at the evidence. Look at the witnesses that saw Him, not just the apostles, but the 500 plus people He appeared to after He rose from the grave. Jesus is not just offering us some new philosophy or a moral code that we live by. He is the risen Christ. His resurrection brings death to death itself and gives life to those who believe in Him. And that truly is the gospel message that we celebrate today. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Isn't that amazing? See, the foolishness that people talk about all around us, that what we are here celebrating today, that's because they don't understand. The Spirit has not worked on them yet. But my life is an example, as a new believer at age 23, that God's Spirit can work great things and bring belief out of unbelief, because that's the power of God. So today we say, Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. See, we use that word indeed. Why? Because indeed has a strong meaning to it. Note that that word, what it truly means is that there's no doubt. There's no hesitation. There's no question. There's no wondering. He is risen. He is risen indeed, we say, because we know that it's true. And because of that, it changes everything for us. And that message is no fooling. It is truth. So it is in His name and to His glory we pray. Once again, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for all that You have done for us. That, Lord, when we were still alienated from You, when we had disbelief in our hearts, Lord, You sent the Spirit into us so that, Lord, we could truly confess that You are the Savior, You are the Messiah, that, Lord, truly You are the one who is raised from the grave, and You live today. And, Lord, because of that, it changes everything for us. So, Lord, let us celebrate that today. Let us feel that joy in our hearts this morning. Let us truly understand all that You have done for us through Your death on the cross and this glorious resurrection from the grave. But Lord, let it not just stop here. Let this be a message that we go out and proclaim throughout our community, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers, and to all. So that, Lord, they truly may confess that Jesus has risen. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so thankful for all this. You have done so much for us. And Lord, we love what You have done in the past. We love what You are doing today. But Lord, we look with anticipation at what You will do in the future. So it is in Your glorious name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.